I had thought maybe I could finish this time, but it's just too much ground to cover, so we'll finish up next week with the, during the Bible school, we will have our prayer meeting service as usual at 7 o'clock, and we'll finish up with the last lesson in this series of building up yourselves in the faith and overcoming the flesh. We've already seen how the flesh is weak, the desires of the flesh are strong, how that the flesh will control us if we allow that to happen in our life. We must be careful not to yield to the flesh and watch those areas in our life where we do and try to keep ourselves in a way that the Lord can use us and we're walking in the Spirit as we've talked about before. But now tonight we want to look at those besetting sins, those habitual sins that come into our lives and get a hold of us, and it seems like we just have difficulty stopping them in our life. If you look in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, this is an important verse as we think about this. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." And lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So those besetting sins, if you look up that word beset, you get the idea of habitual, that these sins that get a hold of us, and it seems to be very hard to overcome them. So, what are habitual sins? Well, if you go back to Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 22, the book of Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22, his own iniquities shall take the wicked. I like verse 21, it says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord." I always need to remember that. God is watching everything that we do. In Romans 14, 12, 2 Corinthians 5, 10 through 12, teach us that there is an accounting. There is an accounting. When you start your day, just think about that. You are going to account someday for the way you lived that day, the way you live today, and each of your days. And it says, "And he pondereth all his goings," verse 22, "his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin." Sin kind of ties you up. And that's what we're talking about, these sins that are habitual in our life. They are sins that we continue to commit, sins that we continue to commit and can't seem to overcome. They would include, it may be different for different believers, what would be a habitual sin in one believer's life may not even be a problem for another believer. So it's hard to say that these are the habitual sins, but they may be. They would include sexual attractions. That's a problem with the internet, problem of reading books and magazines or watching things on TV or DVDs that we shouldn't watch, or maybe in having some of the old VHS, you know, cassettes that we ought to throw away, but we still hold them around and pull them out every now and then and look at them, and we know we shouldn't. It's a sexual attractions. Maybe looking at the opposite sex in the wrong way when we're out and about, whatever we do, just sexual attraction. Another one is cursing. And you say, "Oh, Christians don't cuss." A lot of them do. A lot of them do. And they have a habit. It's become a habitual sin to speak the way a Christian ought not to speak. You get an air of cursing. There's a lot of cursing that is I call it soft soaping it, but if you soft soap it, it's still the same thing. I mean, if you say D-A-R-N instead of D-A-M-N, you know, or other words like that, they're just substitute words, or golly. Golly is the substitute for God. And there are a lot of things that we need to watch in our speech, and maybe you're caught in that area. Next one is criticism. Criticism is a besetting sin. Some folks just have a critical spirit. You can take them and put them in a situation, and everybody else is praising it, and they will find something to criticize. Just a critical spirit. Maybe that's a besetting sin that you have. Next one is gossip. Gossip. Some Christians just have to talk about others, and they're always into someone else's affairs and talking about, did you know what this one did, and did you know what that one did, and you know somebody has this problem and that, and gossip. Maybe it's the next one here, evil thoughts. Just have evil thoughts and can't get rid of those evil thoughts. They keep coming. Thinking things you ought not to think as a Christian. Maybe it's the next one. Maybe it's eating or drinking things that harm us. Boy, that's a one we could spend a little time with. You know that, does anybody know what the number one killer is in America? What? No. The number one disease that kills. Alcohol is not a disease. No, it's not obesity. It is heart disease. Heart disease is the number one killer. 3 times more people are killed by heart disease than cancer. 3 times more. Do you know what the number one culprit is for producing heart disease? Anybody know? No? 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 I haven't heard it yet. No? Nope, haven't heard it yet. Nope. It's going to get you. Sugar. Sugar is the number one cause of heart disease. And how many of us just love those sweets? You know, we have to have them. So, you know, eating or drinking things that harm us, there's a lot we could talk about in that area. Here's another one. Get some of us. Speeding. Speeding. We just can't stay within that speed limit. Next one gets a lot of people. Habitual, besetting sin. Worry. Worry. Worry is a sin. And here's one that gets a lot of people. Temper. Some people say, well, I'm just a hot-natured person. No, you're a sinning temper person. If your temper, you lose your temper, you're just sinning. You might as well just don't forget about mentioning the habitual part of it. It's just by nature. It's my nature. You know that this is the way I am. It's the way my parents were. It's the way my family's been. We're from a red-hot line. So what? You're from a red-hot sinning line, then. I mean, you got to see these things as besetting sins, temper. Then the next one gets a lot of Christians. Smoking. Smoking is a besetting sin. Has a lot of bad effects upon our life, testimony and everything. Besetting sin. And then we put here, and whatever it might be that you know is sin and wrong, but you just can't stop. You know it's not right. You know a Christian ought to not do that, but you continue to do it, and you may come up with different kinds of excuses why you continue in it. And this, you may listen to the devil that it's not that bad after all. It really isn't that much a thing. At least I'm not out here running the bars, or I'm not out here having an affair with some woman or something. And, you know, the devil talks us into thinking it isn't that big of a thing. It really isn't that bad. Why should you be concerned about it? And so we continue on in our sin. Is it possible to overcome besetting sins? Is that possible? Well, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 38. It says in chapter 8 of Romans, verse 37, it says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." We are more than conquerors. We have the ability to crucify the flesh because we are told to do it. They that live godly and in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's not going to be easy, but we have been given the ability to overcome the flesh. So, how are we going to do it? Well, we're going to look at four steps. Number four, D down there in the notes, we won't get to tonight because we just won't have time. But I think it's a major factor in why we really need to crucify the flesh. And we're going to see that in our next lesson, how that we are working for the kingdom. The Lord came on the scene in his earthly ministry preaching the kingdom. We know the kingdom was promised. 1,000-year reign of Christ was promised to the children of Israel, and God will keep that promise, and David will be sitting on the throne ruling over Israel. The Lord himself will reign over all of the earth. But as you will see next week when we look at all of the scriptures involved, that kingdom has a lot to do with you and me and how well we have performed in overcoming the flesh here. A lot to that. Luke 12:32 says it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We do not work for salvation, but if you understand the Bible, there's a lot involved in working for the Lord that will be rewarded to us in the kingdom. I've often thought, well, why doesn't God just say, well, you know, let's just move right on into the new heaven and the new earth? Because he wants that 1,000 years to show respect for those who have lived for Jesus Christ and reward. New heaven, new earth, the ground runs even because nobody gets there outside the blood of Jesus Christ. No other way to get there. But the millennial reign, as you studied in the scripture, is God's time, his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And Revelation 22, when he comes, he says, "My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be in the millennial reign of Christ." We'll go into that in detail the next time, but that is a very, very important factor to remember in this thing of overcoming the flesh. Why do we really want to work that hard at it? Because there's a better day coming. And we'll see that, though. We'll look at several scriptures. So we just don't have time to do it tonight. So we're going to look at these other three steps of how to overcome besetting or habitual sins. First of all, A here in the notes, don't allow Satan to defeat you. Don't allow Satan to defeat you. You know 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's out to get us into his trap. And 2 Timothy talks about people who have fallen into his trap. In chapter 2 and verse 25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And so we need to realize that the devil is out to deceive us, to get us caught in his trap, to get us to yield to the lust of the flesh, to fall into some type or several types of habitual sins, besetting sins. And so sometimes habitual sins are hard to break because Satan keeps us feeling discouraged and defeated because we keep falling into the sin. In other words, what I'm saying is this, that sometimes through our yielding to the lust of the flesh, as James chapter 1 teaches us, we fall into some type of a sin that we continue on and on with. We know it's wrong. And then every time we commit it, we feel so defeated and discouraged, and why should I do anything for the Lord? I'm not fit to be involved in anything. And so we back away. No, that's good. That's just what the devil wanted. He wanted us to be defeated by it. He wanted us to fall into his trap and to be held, holden with the cords, tied up with the cords of our sin, so that we will never step out and do anything for God because we're not fit. Oh, the devil is tricky. If you look in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible gives us this teaching about the devil. Revelation says that old serpent, the devil, so we know this is a devil here, and many other scriptures refer us to that this temptation took place here of Adam and Eve in the garden there by the devil. And it says, now the serpent, notice this, was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, more subtle. Notice that. He is very tricky. The devil is very tricky. And sometimes we cannot break the chains, the ropes that are tying us into a habitual sin, because the devil is able to use that sin to keep us defeated, and we keep going right on with it, defeated. I've been trying so hard to overcome, but I fell into it again. What's the use? I can't do anything, you know. And he keeps us defeated with it. We must acknowledge the sin. Acknowledge the sin and confess it to the Lord, and tell him about our struggle with it and ask for his help. We need to get serious about it, those besetting sins, not just go on with them, continue to be defeated, continue to feel like I'm nobody, I'm not worth serving the Lord. But we ought to confess it to the Lord and then determine in our heart that we're going to break that chain, that cord that's holding us into this sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in James chapter 5 and verse 1, he says here, if any of you lack wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Down to verse 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted with God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That word enticed has the meaning of to catch by bait. The devil sets traps for us, snares. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. And so the goal of the devil is to hold us in this trap, this snare that he set for us, and to keep us into that, and even if possible, to get us to even further into sin so that we could be sidelined and out of service and maybe even eventually dead, the sin unto death, wiped off of the battleground for the Lord. That's the devil's goal. So the first step is don't allow Satan to defeat you. Get serious about these besetting sins that are in your life. Now, be here is examine yourself to see the ways You protect this sin. Besetting sins have a way in our life that we do things that we protect them. They're things that we do. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in mine heart, the Lord will not hear me. Do you know that that word regard is translated 4 times in the Old Testament? Enjoy. Enjoy. You see, there are some sins that we don't want to give up because we enjoy them. We just want to hold on to them, and as a result, we are held by the cords of our sin. So we need to examine ourselves, and we know it's wrong. We may enjoy it, but how are we protecting it? How are we protecting this sin in our life? You see, you can break the cord of the sin by changing your ways. There's a lot of scriptures that talk about that more than we have time to really go to tonight. We'll look at some of them in Psalm 17 and verse 5. Psalm 17 and verse 5. You have no one really to blame. Some people say, well, the devil made me do it. No. You have no one to blame but yourself, because you're held. Remember what we read in 2 Timothy 5? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26? That they may recover themselves. You see, you can recover yourself from the snare of the devil, from besetting sins. Psalm 17 and verse 5. Verse 4 says, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. So notice David says here that I was kept from the paths of the destroyer, the old devil, because of the word of thy lips, the word of God. That's so important. And he says in verse 5, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. So here's a good way to examine ourselves. Am I walking by the word? Am I walking by the word? Are there things in my life that I'm doing that I know are not contrary, are not according to the word of God? They're contrary to the word of God. Some people see themselves as the authority and not the word of God as the authority. Chapter 25 and verse 4. Psalms 25 verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Thy paths. Could it be possible that there are some things that I'm doing that I need to change? Maybe if I have a problem with the internet, I've got an option. I can get rid of it, get off the internet, or I can put that thing out somewhere where it's public and I can't be alone privately with it. I pull it out of that little closet where I have, where I go in there and shut the door and kind of lock it so nobody else can see what I'm doing. Well, you're protecting it. Don't hide. Or I've got that one novel that has things in it that Christian ought not to read. I've stuck that thing under the mattress so nobody will see it. And I read it when nobody's around. Well, why are you protecting it? You know, you're protecting your sin. You're hiding it. Those magazines or whatever it might be, or DVD that you watch when nobody else is around the house. Ooh, protecting your sin. Look in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 20. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. The way of good men. Maybe your associations need to change. You're being influenced to stay with that besetting sin because of the company you keep protecting your sin. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. I can't come up with all the ways that Christians protect their sin up here, but I know the Holy Spirit can convict your heart about it, and He can show you the ways that you are kind of petting your sin and protecting it. Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. You notice that? And see. And ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. You see, we need to examine ourselves. We need to ask the Lord to show us. I can't seem to overcome this sin. What is it? How am I protecting this sin? Begin to think about it. Pray about it. Ask the Lord for wisdom to show you the ways that you are setting yourself up to continually fall prey to a besetting, habitual sin. And so we notice that next verse here is chapter 7 and verse 3. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, is what He was saying to Israel, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. And that's what we need, to amend our ways and our doings. Look at it. Why do I continue to fall into this sin? You need to amend your ways and your doings. You're setting yourself up. And if you would really examine yourself, you would see the ways that you are protecting this sin in your life and making it possible for you to be continually held by its cords. Haggai, if you want a fast way to find Haggai, just go to the end of the Old Testament and go back 3 books and you're right there. To Haggai, chapter 1 and verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. That's what we need to do. It may just be that you are held by some sin that you continue to commit. It so frustrates you. You wish you could overcome it, but you just can't seem to stop it. If you would consider your ways, you would see and find ways that you are setting yourself up to be held by the cords of this sin. So untie yourself. Untie yourself and get free of it. Here's a good question. Are you building yourself up spiritually? Are you keeping your Christian armor on? We're going to go over to Ephesians chapter 6 and run through that right quickly in the next few minutes here, because it is so important if we want to overcome the flesh to put on the Christian armor. Some points here we want to make about the Christian armor. It's a good question. We've studied that several in these previous 3 lessons. We've looked at this important thing of the Word of God and building yourself up and staying in the Word of God and how important it is. Are you building yourself up spiritually? The stronger you become spiritually, the easier it is to knock out or untie yourself, so to speak, from besetting sins. So it's important to be growing spiritually. You neglecting your Bible reading? You neglect your prayer time? You're too busy to spend a little devotional time with the Lord? Well, don't expect to be victorious over besetting sins in your life. You need to be built up strong spiritually. The devil has you caught in his trap, taken captive by him and his will. The only way to break it is to build yourself up spiritually and bust those ties, those chains, and walk on out of it. And you can do it. It can be done. We are more than conquerors through the power here that we read about in the Christian armor. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in your flesh and the power of your might. Is that what your Bible says? If it does, you must have man's holy translation. Holy, not spelled H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-U-L-E-L-E-Y, yeah. Full of holes. Man's translation is full of holes. So anyhow, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Now, how do you do that? We talked about that in earlier lessons. You've got to build yourself up in the faith. You've got to stay in your Bible reading. You've got to stay in your prayer time. You've got to stay in faithful church attendance. You've got to stay feeding your mind spiritual things. We gave the illustration. If you feed the flesh is going to become strong, and spiritually speaking, and the will, your willpower, your mind, your intellect, your will is going to be weak to do the things of the Lord. If you feed yourself spiritually, then the flesh is going to be weakened, talking spiritually speaking, and your will and your mind will be stronger. So, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Build yourself up spiritually and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Notice here it takes the whole armor to be able to stand. He said that again in verse 13, two times in the Christian armor. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. Verse 11, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So according to my Bible, if you don't take the whole armor, you're going to have trouble standing against the devil. You're going to have trouble breaking these besetting sins. So it takes the whole armor of God to be able to stand. And 1 Peter 5, 9, we'll just quickly look at that one. I can't remember it well enough to quote it. 1 Peter 5, 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. That's the whole armor of God. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Notice that word resist there in verse 9 is the same word that's translated withstand in Ephesians 6 verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand or resist in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So, it is very important that we take the whole armor of God. Now we realize from verse 11 and 12, verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 11 talks about against the wiles of the devil, all of his trickery that he uses. So the enemy is the devil. He wants to use our flesh to defeat us. The enemy is the devil. Number 3 here, you must acknowledge and submit yourself to the authority of the Word of God. Now if you look through all of these things that are mentioned in the armor of God, they all, in some way or another, reference back to the Word of God. Every one of them. If we were to do that study, it would be a different study than we'll do tonight. But you can do that. You can relate the Christian armor all back to the Word of God. And so you must acknowledge and submit yourself to the authority of the Word of God. I don't know how many Christians that I've talked to will say to me, well, you know, I know what the Bible says, but I think... Right there's the trouble when you say but. What the Bible says settles it. It must be your authority. I have parents who tell me, well, you know, I know what the Bible says about discipline, but forget it. Do what the Bible says if you want your children to come out right. If you want to have some children that when you get older, they'll be a blessing to you. Do what the Bible says. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. I understand what the Bible says, and it must be the authority. And if you're going to overcome besetting sins, you must submit yourself to the authority of the Word of God. And you must see it as God's Word to you, a commandment from your Father, and you are to obey. We have no choice. You must see the Word of God as an authority. Notice how all of the things mentioned here are found in the Bible. Number four, in notes here, and that the first thing he mentions is truth. I put him beside that honesty. Now we're looking at this Christian armor in the light of besetting sins. A lot more could be said. I don't have time to really delve into this passage and look at all the things that are here for us, but I want you to see this as far as the light of besetting sins and putting on the armor of God. And one thing is honesty. Are you trying to hide your sin? You got it hidden from your wife, your husband, your family? That's dishonesty. That's not truth. You're never going to conquer it. You keep trying to hide your sin. Next one is righteousness. That's trying to do right. Are you really serious about overcoming? Do you really want to overcome? You know, the Bible talks about that out of the heart proceedeth. It's a heart issue. And some people will say, well, I know that's wrong. I know I shouldn't be doing it. But in their heart, they have no desire to overcome. No desire. It's not there. They love that sin. They enjoy it. They regard iniquity. They enjoy it. So we have to come to the place where righteousness, we need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Every one of these, we could talk about how vital they are to protecting the human body in warfare. But we'll skip that tonight and just look at it from the angle of trying to overcome besetting sins. Are you really concerned about overcoming? You're never going to overcome it if you don't get concerned from your heart to see that this is wicked against God. Say, I'm not wicked. Any sin is wickedness in God's eyes. And especially if it's a besetting sin that we continue in it when we know that we shouldn't. We're held by it. So we have to see that. This needs to be out of my life. Shouldn't be heading up to sin. And so the next one is the preparation of the gospel of peace. I put in there, preparing for peace. Are you seeking the peace of God? Philippians 4, 6-8. Are you worried about everything, or are you turning it over to God, and by prayer and seeking the Lord, you have that peace that passeth understanding? So keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Romans 14, 19 is a good one. It says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Do you realize if you look this verse up there in Isaiah 48 and verse 22 and Psalm 32:10, that the Bible teaches that wickedness is an abominable thing to the Lord? Do you realize that besetting sin that you have is putting you in jeopardy? Do you realize that you are very possibly falling into Hebrews chapter 10, willful sinning, which is a very dangerous thing for a believer? Has the devil so blinded your mind that you don't see the seriousness of the matter? Are you so caught in his trap that you don't see it? That you think you can go on and, because God is a loving God and a merciful God and full of compassion, that you can escape and get around it? Boy, if you think that way, you're caught in the devil's trap. Read those verses, Isaiah 48:22 and Psalm 32:10. What about music? Your music. Music has a devastating effect upon the Christian life if it's the wrong kind of music. Maybe you're held in a besetting sin. You just can't get out of that country western stuff. You can't get out of that Christian rock stuff. Held. You need to see the seriousness of it and how serious it is, and get away from that. The preparation of the gospel of peace doesn't bring peace in your life. It brings discord. Then the next one there is the shield of faith. I put believing beside that. Do you really believe you can overcome? Matthew 21:22, he tells us to believe when we pray, and he will do it. And there in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, he says, if we doubt, we're not going to receive anything from the Lord. We need to have the faith to believe. And we need to be determined that I can, and I'm going to trust God to help me. I'm going to examine myself. I'm going to look for the ways that I'm encouraging this sin in my life. I'm buttering it up. I'm protecting it. And I'm going to overcome with God's help, the power of His might. And then notice the question there, is the Bible your authority? Comes back to that again. Are you determined to listen to what God has said? Do you really believe? No, when a person says, I know what the Bible says, but you know what they're saying? I don't believe it. I don't believe it. When you put the but in there, that means you don't believe it. Because if you believe it, you say, I know what the Bible says and I need to conform. That's if you believe it. So we need to be careful in that area. The shield of faith. The helmet of salvation, that's our thoughts. That's our thoughts. Are you thinking right? Philippians 4, verses 8 to 9 tells us what to think on. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:3, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The Bible has the final part of that verse is, I think, is so good in Proverbs 23, because it's exactly the way we are. A lot of times we're heavy on the amens, but our heart isn't behind it. Look at it there in Proverbs 23 and verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. I've been in preacher's meetings where the preacher get up there and preach, and these guys say, amen, 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 preacher, amen, preacher, preacher. And then I've observed those guys, and they don't live it. You know, that's what it is here. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he, but his heart is not with thee. Oh, we can say, yeah, that's what we need to do. But in our heart, it isn't really there. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 is a good one that tells us that the devil hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. And then in chapter 11, verse 3, he warns us that our minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So our thoughts, are you thinking right? Are you thinking otherwise, that of ways to justify your sin? Better get away from that. Better get away from ways to try to convince yourself that it's okay. The Holy Spirit's already told you, given you clear admonition in the Word of God, convicted your heart, you know it's wrong. Why are you entertaining thoughts to try to justify? Held. Holden with the cords of his sin. And then notice the sword of the Spirit. That's the Word of God. Are you really into the Word? Are you using Bible memory? If you got a problem in some area, look up some verses and then start memorizing them. Verses that relate to that sin. Look them up and start memorizing those verses. If I had a problem with temper, I would go and get me a concordance or Bible program that gives you all the verses on wrath, and I would pull them all up there, and I'd get some ones that really spoke to my heart, and I'd start working to memorize them. this verse is on wrath. If I had a trouble with the internet, I would find the verses that talk about that topic of looking at women or lust and all those things, and I'd get some of those verses up and I would start working on memorizing them. Put the Bible to work in your life. Number 10 here is praying always. Are you consistent in your prayer life? Jesus said men ought to always pray and not to faint there in Luke 18:1. So, if you want to keep from fainting, you want to get out of it being held by the cord of your sin, untie yourself, get into prayer. Someone has said that if you pray, you won't faint. If you fail to pray, you're going to faint. You'll faint if you don't pray. And then notice the whole armor. This is often overlooked. It says praying always in verse 18. But down to verse 19, he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You see, the whole armor equips us to be bold witnesses for Christ. Why are many Christians not bold witnesses? Because they don't put on the whole armor of God. Question, are you witnessing? Get out of your shell. Don't be held by the cords of your sin. Honestly, seriously, seek God to overcome. Ask for wisdom. Look at the ways that you're protecting the sin. Look at the Christian armor and put it all on and determine that you will try to witness for Christ. It'll make a difference in your life. See here is use fasting and prayer to help you overcome. If you read Isaiah 58 and verse 6, the Bible teaches us that the fasting that he has ordained breaks every yoke. Remember he said there in Matthew 6, verses 16 to 18, that when we fast, we don't do it for show. We don't exact our labors, but we set some time aside to pray, according to the Lord, to have an effective fast. We don't just fast, we fast to pray. We take the time to prayer. And we can do a one-day fast, three-day fast, whatever fast, but if you're going to do a fast, you should set some times for prayer. Or it's useless. Well, it might help you out physically. You might lose some weight, but spiritually, you need to set some time to prayer. Mark 9 and verse 29, Jesus said this kind can come forth only by prayer and fasting. If you examine that passage, it was a serious situation. But Jesus said the only way it can happen, this kind, is by prayer and fasting. And so sometimes to break that heavy yoke of our sin, the cords of our sin that we're held in, we need to do some fasting and pray and seeking God. So those are just some suggestions on overcome besetting sins in our life. I hope that, and I know many times Christians seem to protect those besetting sins because they can't conquer them, so they just protect them. They just protect them. And they just convince themselves that they're not that bad after all, and that other Christians probably experience the same thing, and it's a common thing, and it's something. And they just go right on in the snare of the devil, his trap. Break those besetting sins. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. That's what we need to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the opportunity to study your word. It helps us. It strengthens us. It draws us closer to you. There are those here tonight who are harboring some sins that they know are wrong, but they just have difficulty in that area, and so they, instead of really getting serious about overcoming, they get serious about protecting, covering it up, hiding it. The Bible tells us if we hide, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. It's not going to happen. Help us to determine that we will not yield ourselves to the flesh to fulfill the desires of the flesh. But we will crucify the flesh as you've so clearly taught us. We will walk in the Spirit. Work on our hearts that we might be all that you want us to be and not allow sin to have dominion over us. We thank you and we love you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's